Now that we've gone through my 2 weeks of intro, Rabbi Ziering's 2 weeks of intro, we're ready to actually move into Ribbis itself, although it feels like we've done a lot of that this way. Nonetheless, there's a whole lot more to go. So what we decided to do was to tackle it from the Perek going beginning to end, but doing it topically. And that will result in some jumping around, but that's the way it goes. So our first topic is Ribbis Kitzutza. Ribbis Kitzutza being, as we discussed already in our introduction, the biblically defined Ribbis, in which, to say it loosely, you set up from the very beginning that the borrower is going to have to pay the lender more than was borrowed. That's the basics of Ribbis Kitzutza. As opposed to, for example, where nothing was set up from the beginning, guy lent me $100, and I got $120. That would be different. That was in a kitzutza, because we didn't set it up in the beginning. In the beginning, he thought he was getting back $100. Or the case in which I pay him something in advance. I say to him, here's $100. By the way, I would really like to borrow $1,000 from you. And then borrow $1,000, pay back $1,000, but that's ribbis mukdemis. I paid early. Those are not ribbis kitzutza cases. We discussed this at length in the introduction. So the first point that I'd like to address, and we're going to go from this into the next year with related topics,
is... What does kitzutza mean?
Fixed. Set. Like kates. Kufzadi.
Kates means fixed or set?
Well, something that is set, yes. You could do more with the word, I am sure, Jerry. But that's that's a simple read of kitzutza. So what the Gemara is going to say on Samach Aleph Amid Beis over onto Samach Beis is that there is a duty to pay back Ribbis Kitzutza according to Rabbi Elazar. It's a machlokas Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan. And what I want to do for our half hour is to talk about the nature of the obligation to pay back Ribbis Kitzutza. How do we understand this obligation? Why is there an obligation for the lender to refund the money to the borrower, and some applications of this? So that'll be our that'll be our topic. So we have to start by looking at the Gemara itself, which I gave you on the sheets in source Aleph. It starts in the middle on the sheets that you have there. You'll find it. And I tried to break up the Gemara as best I could to help with the read, because it's a lot of Gemara, and it goes back and forth. So, source Aleph. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Ribbis Kitzutza Yotza B'Dayanan. Rabbi Elazar says that Ribbis Kitzutza is taken away by the judge. Literally, it goes out with the judges, meaning the judges can force a refund. That's the idea. How they force it, we'll have to come back to. But they can force a refund. Avak ribbis, which is the term that we use loosely for ribbis derabanan, eina yotze b'dayanin. That's not refunded under the judges. Rabbi Yochanan amar, afilu ribbis kitzutza, nami eina yotze b'dayanin. Rabbi Yochanan says, nonsense. Ribbis isn't refunded. Once paid, over. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, maitamid Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yitzchak asks, what's Rabbi Yochanan's rationale? He takes the Acharon Rishon, and since he just finished with Rabbi Yochanan, he starts on Rabbi Yochanan. What's the rationale for saying that you don't refund it? The Amar Kra, the Neshech Nasan v'Tarbis Lakach v'Chay Lo Yechyeh Eis Kol HaToevos HaEla Asa, from Yechezkel. The Pasuk says, he gave Ribbis, he gave his money for Neshach, he took Tarbit, he will not live, he has done all these things that are abhorrent. Lemisa nitan v'lo lehishavon. So because it says v'chai lo yichyeh, he will not live, even though we don't have a death penalty for this, nonetheless, the message is, once he's done it, he's dead. He can't refund it anymore. In the same way that you kill somebody, you can't bring him back to life. That's it. Rav Ada bar Ava amar kra, al tikach meito neshach v'tarbis v'yareisa me'alokecha. He goes back to the pasuk in Chumash, which says, you shall revere Hashem l'mora nitan v'lo lehishavon. It's about mora. It's about reverence. And once you have lent it for ribbis, once you've taken ribbis, you already violated mora. The fact that later on you make things look better by paying it back doesn't change the fact. You already violated the mora. So therefore, there is no further obligation. And then Rav Amar migufei dekrashmielei, I get it from the pasuk itself, the pasuk of Mos Yumas Damav Bo Yehyeh, which again takes us back into Yechezkel. Hukshu Malvei Ribbis L'Shofchei Damim, the pasuk that says he shall die, his blood is on him, meaning the blood of the victim, of the borrower. links the Malva Baribis Lashov Kedamim. That links him with murderers. Mashov Kedamim Lo Ninu Lihi Shabon, just like murder cannot be reversed, along the lines of the first pasuk, the first attempt. Av Malva Baribis Lo Ninu Lihi Shabon. There isn't payback. Once done, done. That's the idea. Tosfos says on that it's not that the Torah uses the phrase damav bo, it's that damav bo is entirely out of place since we don't execute people for mammon. So it's not the fact that the Torah used the phrase damav bo, because we use the word damav bo for non-murderers also. It's the fact that you go into an apparent death penalty reference when you're dealing with a financial issue. Rabbi Lazar, on the other hand, said, no, you do refund it. Amr of Nachri is my time with Rabbi Lazar. What's Rabbi Lazar's rationale for saying so? Because the pasuk says, your brother's life shall be with you. So give it back to him so that he'll live. Right? That's your obligation. Just like you had an obligation before you lent, to lend without charging ribbis so that he'll live. Now help him live by giving him back the money. Rabbi Yochanan, hai v'chei achicha yimach mei avilei. New Rabbi Yochanan, what do you do with v'chei achicha yimach? Mibayolei lechadisanya, for an entirely different lesson, which I ellipsize in three dots, rather than turn that into the entire shiur for the next 3 weeks, and that is the discussion about the two guys walking in the desert, and they run out of water. So we're not doing that discussion. You can leave that for another time, another year. But the point is, v'chei achicha yimach is the source for the idea that you have to refund the money to him. The Ritva asks, why is it that we challenge Rabbi Yochanan on v'chei achicha yimach? We don't challenge the other way. Rabbi Lazar, what do you do with Rabbi Yochanan's psukim? So I brought it for you on the sheet, and in source base, he says, because this is a pasuk from the Chumash, and it's left over for a drasha, as opposed to Rabbi Yochanan, which are asmachtos from Yechezkel. That's a different story.
So that Rabbi Yochanan is using that for the oral and the lender?
So that's a good question. I was wondering about this also. It seems to me that it's the lender specifically, because he's the one with the obligation to refund. No one, as far as I have seen, construes it that the borrower has an obligation to accept the money back. Just the opposite. We're going to compel him not to accept the money back, and that's another shear. In other words, what's supposed to happen is the lender is supposed to sincerely say, here's your money, and the borrower is supposed to sincerely say, no, thank you. Correct. Although that's Guzma, but yes. So that's our basic machlokas, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara then brings two challenges to Rabbi Yochanan. The first challenge is from Tosefta and Bav Mitzia Perakei, our Perak. Meisvei, Hiniach le'mavim mal shel ribis, alva b'shiyodim shehen shel ribis, einon chayavan ha'chaziran. The Tosefta says that in the event that somebody dies and leaves behind money, which the kids know is money that was ribis, that was taken, they have no chiyuv to return it. The implication, though, is the father did have a chiyuv. Otherwise, why are you asking about the kids? Avin chayiv lahachzir. Doesn't that prove Rabbi Elazar is correct that you refund ribis? So the Gemara answers no. B'din hu da'abu hon nami lo mechayiv lahachzir. The truth is that the father also wasn't chayiv to. Then why'd you mention it? Because in the Seifa, it's going to talk about a gezel case where the father leaves behind stolen goods. And there they're going to discuss the child's... They're going to talk about the father left a davar mesuyim, where it's a particular item. It isn't cash, but he left them a jacket. He left them a cow. He left them something that everyone's going to know was taken from somebody beribis. And there's an issue potentially of refunding to save the honor of their father, that people shouldn't go around saying, oh yeah, that's the cow he took for interest, and he died, and look at him. So Tananami Reisha Bididhu. So therefore the Reisha also mentioned about the heirs.
Are we talking about whether the ribbis was earned by the Yerushim, or the ribbis was earned by the father?
Father. Father earned it, father collected it. Yerushim now know they have it. They look at the father's ledgers.
So why isn't that gezel?
Why isn't what gezel? Why isn't it the same thing as gezel? I will refer you to the introductory shiur on why it's not the exact same thing as gezel.
I understand, but in terms of the reason of having it,
because it's not stolen. That's actually going to fit into where we're going. So you'll see. We're going to see a machlokas we've shown him as to why you return it, and that's going to answer your question. So the Gemara has a tangent here where it asks, wait a minute, why are they obligated to return the davar mesuyim, this jacket or cow, for the honor of their father? Their father's a terrible person. Who cares about his kavod? To which the Gemara answers, it's where he did tshuva. Well, if he did tshuva, why does he still have the cow? The answer is because he didn't have a chance to refund it until he died. The Shidim Mekubetzes quotes the Ramah. It was manifest in his other behaviors that he was trying to do tshuva. Fine. The Gemara then brings a second challenge. This one from Brisa in Bava Kama. Meisvei hagazlanin umalvei beribis avo pishagavu machzirin. I have a Brisa that says that thieves, as well as people who lend, even after they have already collected it, they have to refund it. Then the Gemara asks, well, thieves collected what? And it says, no, reread the line. But it doesn't matter for our purposes. For our purposes, I have a Brisa in Bava Kama that says that malvei beribis have to refund it. That's
core. That, but, you right? have a, but you have a clear behashiv.
It's like saying, yeah, yeah. This isn't Gezel, this is Ribis. We're talking about the Ribis.
No, how do you make the comparison between
Gazlan and Malvei Beribis?
Right, because you have a specific...
The Gemara rewrites the Brisa, and it says we're not really talking about Gazlanim, so don't worry. No Gazlanim are actually heard in this Brisa. This Brisa is really only about Malvei Beribis. It's actually, the line is, HaGazlanim who are Malvei Beribis. Don't worry about that piece of it. It'll just... Yeah. Trust me, or open up a Bava Metzia or Bava Kama, and you get to see it. So the Gemara's answer is, you're right. You're right. Yeah, unquestionably, this Brisa supports Rabbi Elazar. However, what we would like to suggest is Tanoihi. It's actually a Machlokas Tanoim, this debate about whether to refund it or not. Disanya, the Brisa goes, Rabbi Nechemi and Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, they're expressing one view, they're together. Podrinas Amalvaves Arev, Mipnei Shiesh ben Kum Asei. They say the Malva and the Arev. Now, I'm going to read this. There are two ways to read this line. What's going to come from here. Right now I'm assuming the Malva and the Arev are exempt from Malkos, v'pnei sheyesh bahen kum asei, because there is an asei that is a corrective. That's what they say. My kum asei, what is the kum asei for the lender? What is the kum asei for the guarantor? Lav mishum damrinu lehu kumu ahadoru, isn't it because we say, go pay this back? Michlal the Tanakama Savar Lav Bene Ahadurainu, which implies that the Tanakama believes that it is not to be refunded, the Tanakama with whom they disagree. Right? In other words, again, Rabbi Nechemi and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov say they're not getting Malkos because they have a mitzvah sase of refunding, implying that whoever they were disagreeing with, right, the anonymous Tanakama, must believe there is no assay of refunding, and that's why there are Malkos. To which the Gemara says, Maikum asay, what is the asay here? Likro ashtara, to tear up the shtar. Meaning, the loan has been extended, there's a document saying so-and-so owes ribis, tear up the document, that's your asay, and then you don't get malkos. So here's the part where there are two different ways to read the Gemara. There's Rashi, and then there are the Talmidei Rabbeinu Peretz and the Shita Mekubetzes. I'm going to go through it first with Rashi's read, and then Talmidei Rabbeinu Peretz. So the way Rashi reads the next line is the following. Mai kasavar, meaning, what did the Tanakama think? Why does the Tanakama think that they should be chayav? Ikasavar shtar ha'omid, and the Rashi itself is in Gimel. The ikasavar, if the Tanakama believes shtar ha'omid likbos kegavoy dami, that this document is as though it had already been collected, right? We view this document that's ready for collection as though the deed had already been done. V'ha'avdu isurayu. Then they already did the. Then they already did the isur, and tearing it up isn't going to do any good. But on the other hand, v'ilav kegavoy dami, if it's not like it's already been collected, halo avad v'lo klum, they did nothing. What are you giving them malchus for? Nothing's happened yet. To which the answer is, la'olam kasavar shtar ha'omid libos lav kegavoy dami. The answer is that the Tanakama believes it's not as though it's already been collected. V'akamash v'lan dishuma milsehi, or in some editions, sima milsehi. The answer is, you violated lo sisimun olav neshech already by creating such a loan. And that's what's already been violated. That's the way that that Rashi reads it. Talmidei Rabbeinu Peretz in the Shita Mekubetzes, I brought it for you in Dalid, read the last question and answer a little bit differently. Oh, a lot differently, actually. The way that they read it is, the question that's being asked here is, once you tell me that the Kumaseh is tearing up the document, then we ask the question, why would Rabbi Nechemi and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov think that tearing up the document helps you at all? Why would Karoi Shtara be useful to exempt him from Malkos? If the document is meaningful, right, Kegavui Dami, then they've already violated Lo Sisimun Olav Neshech. If the document is not meaningful, then they haven't violated anything. So the answer, according to them, is that Rav Nechem and Rav Elazar ben Yaakov say that tearing it up helps because Lo Sesimun Alav Neshech isn't final until the ribbis is claimed. Yes, and now you're in trouble from the beginning. Exactly, that's the way that they read it. By the way, the Ritva asked a question, which goes back to what the Rabbi Ziering did at the end of his half hour. The Ritva asked, "How did the Ariv get involved in this? What do you mean? You said the Ariv should refund it. You know, what are you talking about?" So the case he gives is where the lender took from the Ariv, and the Ariv collected from the borrower. Right? The Ariv is the guarantor, but in this case, he was an Ariv Kabbalan, perhaps. So the lender actually went to the Ariv. And then the Ariv took from the borrower, and therefore he has to refund as a way of erasing the wrong.
So how can tearing it up the Levatel, if the maybe it will work for the Ariv, the camel for the Malveh, he's already done what he's doing, he's okay from the Ariv.
Right, so you're dealing with two different cases. Either the Malveh took from him, in which case the Malveh has to correct it by refunding, or the Malveh took from the Ariv, and the Ariv took from the Loveh, in which case the Ariv has to correct it by taking from the by refunding to the Loveh. There you're dealing with two different parties, two different cases.
Right.
Yeah.
You said that the Lo Sesimun
right.
He went to the Ariv in the beginning and he already collected it
from
the Ariv.
Right, and that's the point, is that refunding will not erase the general guilt for Lo Sesimun Alav Neshech. That's the whole point of the discussion. So, upshot of the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan says there's no mitzvah to pay back Ribbis Ketzutza. Rabbi Elazar says there is a mitzvah of paying back. Lemaisa, we follow Rabbi Elazar that there is a mitzvah of paying back. But pieces of this Gemara are now going to be important for us going forward. Why does Rabbi Elazar think that the lender is obligated to pay back the borrower? What's the rationale? So there are two different views in the Rishonim. The first view is expressed by the Rashba and the Ran. And that is, it's a separate mitzvah. This is not about refunding theft, v'heshev es hagzela, the way Pesach wanted to say before. There is a unique mitzvah of, you took ribbis from somebody, you have a mitzvah of paying him back. The money actually belongs to the malveh, not to the loveh, but we want him to give it to the borrower. They, if you take a look on your sheet in Hay, that's the Ran. He says Rivas Ketzutza Yotze B'Dayanim. He quotes you the Rashba, so you get both two in one. Because of a Rashbazal, the lav lemeimer shebeis in Jordan lenachasav umachzirin leloveh. He says, and this is going to be important as we go through this, that the beis din is not going into the guy's property when we say Yotze B'Dayanim. They can't go into his property and take it back. Why? Granted that there's an obligation for him to give the money to the borrower, there's no claim on his property. And he says, I'll prove it to you. The Brisa says, regarding the heirs, that even though they know the money is ribbis, they don't have to return it unless you're talking about a davar mesuyim, right? But if it were theft, as Pesach noted, mechayev kolz man shegzela kayemes. You have to give it back, I don't care. As long as you have stolen goods, give it away. The answer is there's no shibud. It's just a mitzvah saseh. That's it. The life of your brother shall be with you. And Yotzin B'dayanin, he says, means the same way we are kofa for a mitzvah sasei in general. A guy says, I'm not interested in picking up a lulav. You say, fine. We'll start with excommunication and we'll work our way up. Ultimately, some level of pressure is going to get you to do this mitzvah. But we're not walking into his property in order to take money, buy a lulav, and stick it in his hand. In our case here, we're not going into his property to claim the money back because there is no shibud on the money. This is just a mitzvah he's supposed to perform. And proof for it is that pasuk he brought at the end. I brought it for you in source Vav, in the Gemara Bava Kama, where it appears, where we draw the source for the payback from the pasuk of Achei Achicha Imach. Right? We're going to come back to this Gemara later on, but right now I'm just showing it to you on the page. The idea of the Nechi Bahadach, that he should live among you. So that's the first approach. That's Rashba and the Ran, supported by this use of Echei Chayimach. The other view, though, is Rabbeinu Yeruchim. The Mishnah Lamelach quotes Rabbeinu Yeruchim, Helchaz Malva Velova, Perak Dalet Alach Dalet. It's also in the Beis Shmuel and Ebenu Ezer Chavches. And this is the view that says that the lender never acquired the ribbis. The borrower gave him ribbis money, but the lender never acquired it. The money still belongs to the borrower. It's his right.
So it wasn't part of the arrangement.
Oh, it was part of the arrangement, but it wasn't legally so. It was part of the arrangement, meaning I said to you, I'm borrowing $100 and I'm giving you $150. That was in our arrangement, but you don't have a right to the extra $50. Take a look at Source Zion at the Mishnah Lamelech. Veda, Sherebini Yeruchim Kasav, then he gives you Nisiv Ches, Chilak Aleph, the Davka She'en HaGezela Kayemes, Ok She'en HaRibis Kayem, Aval Imu Be'en Kofenosam Lahachzer. He's dealing in the heir's case, and he says if there is a physical item, you have to return it. Nira Desviralei, the Av Gabe Ribis Koshu Be'en, Av She'enu Mesuyim Mekabu Bimenu, Dumi De Gezel. It appears that Rabbeinu Yeruchim believes that if you have the physical item that was given as ribbis, and that means whether it's a cow or whether it's coins, doesn't make a difference. As long as it's intact, the original item is intact, it's just like theft, and you have to return the item. It's only if it's been changed into other money that you don't.
Well, is this like the Rabea Nirva type of thing? Or
what do you mean?
Like that the that animal is an embarrassment, whatever.
Oh, you mean that business? That's a Dover, no, this is not Dover Mesuyim like that. That was Dover Mesuyim before. But that's not what he's saying here. What he's saying is, if you have the physical item that was taken from somebody, granted the guy handed it over, you have an obligation to return it. Ulatame Azil. And he says that's following the general approach of Rabbeinu Yeruchim, and this is really the key. Shakasa b'disivcha beiz galagalata im kidesh beribis kitsutsa eina mikudeshes. He says if the malve were to try to use this money that he got beribis, he walks up to a woman and says, here's some money, marry me. It doesn't work. Because it's not his money. Sorry? Yeah, it's very romantic. Okay, so the point is, that's the position of Rabbeinu Yeruchim, is the lender never acquired the money. There are three nafkamina that I'd like to bring to this. The first nafkamina for this is, what does Beis Din do? Right? You already saw that in the Ran. If we view this as a separate mitzvah that he has to fulfill, but the money doesn't belong to the borrower, then Beis Din can't enter his property, you can just compel him in other ways. But if it's actually refunding theft, Beis Din can walk right in and say, those are stolen goods, you're going to pay those back. And in fact, the Sefer HaChinuch brings you both views in Source Ches to explain what Yotze B'dayanin means. He brings the first view that says, I bolded it, Shebeis Din Yordan L'Nichsei HaMalveh, Beis Din actually go in, that's Rabbeinu Yeruchim. And then the second one that I bolded there is Kefiyah, that they can actually just force him, but they can't go into his money, because it's not the money of the borrower. Both views. Second nafkamina, duty for heirs. We've already referred to this as well. Whether the heirs have to refund it. Our Gemara says the heirs don't refund it. However, according to Yeruchim, to Rabbeinu Yeruchim, they should need to refund it, right? That's in fact what he said. So what are you going to do with our Gemara that said that they don't need to refund it? How do you understand that you don't need to refund it? So the Tosfos HaRosh, which I brought you on your sheet in test, answers it's a gzeiras hakasav. They should. Afilu man de'amar rishus yoresh lav kirishus lokeach. Even if you take the view that the heir is not like a buyer, meaning that he hasn't acquired with shini rishus the money, sh'ani acha, it's still different here. Da'amar krav echei achicha imach. The Torah says you have an obligation to return it so that your brother's life will be with you. Your kid does not. It's exeris hakasav. But you're right. Logically, according to Rabbeinu Yeruchim's philosophy, the heirs do have to refund it. So that's your second nafkamina. The third potential nafkamina is, can the borrower be mokel? Can the borrower forgive it? The Ritva says that a borrower's mechila is not effective. I brought it for you in Yud. That a borrower's mechila, if he says, you know what, I'm giving you ribbis, and he says to him, well, I know, I should really give this back. He didn't say that. I shouldn't say that. That messes everything up. But I say, I am mochel, my rights to get the ribbis back. The Ritva says that's ineffective. But according to Rabbeinu Yeruchim, it should work, right? Why is mechila ineffective? Well, if I take the view that the obligation of the lender is a separate obligation, the money really belongs to him, but he has a special mitzvah of refunding, that's between him and Hashem. The borrower being mochel is irrelevant. It shouldn't work. That's the Ritva's position. However, if I take Rabbeinu Yeruchim's view, it's the borrower's money. So he can say, I don't want it back. So according to Rabbeinu Yeruchim, mechila should work. Maybe, though, Rabbeinu Yerucham agrees that Mechila doesn't work because of the Tur's statement that this is the Chiddush of Ribbis. I talked about that in one of the introductory Shiurim. In Source Yud Aleph, he says, V'agaonim kasvu shem machol halova lamalva ribbis shalakach v'sha'azalikach ein Mechila moeles. Actually, no, I jumped the line that I needed. Shekol ribbis sheba'ola Mechila hi. He says, all ribbis is Mechila. Right? When I sign a contract, or I don't sign because it's one of ours, but when I say in front of Edim, I'm borrowing $100, I'm giving him $150, I'm mochel. All ribbis is mechila, but the Torah says it doesn't count. So,
I'll get that three.
Every time I borrow money from somebody and I agree to pay interest, no one forced me, no one held a gun to my head, no one took the money away from me. That is mechila. I said, you know what? The Torah may give me all these protections, but I'm not interested in those protections. It's more important to me that I get to borrow money. And yet, we have laws of ribbis. So clearly, the Torah is saying, I don't care about your mechila, even though the mechila should work. So again, what we've seen is that you have these three, you have these two different views. One view says the borrower's the lender's obligation is a separate mitzvah. The other view is that the lender's obligation is because he doesn't have the money. Practical applications are, will Beis Din go into his property? Do the heirs have an obligation to refund it? And the ability of the borrower to be mochel. But in practice, for these last two nafkaminas, psukim seem to override. Meaning, Rabbeinu Yerucham should say that there's an obligation to refund the money, because the money doesn't belong to the lender. However, the Gzeres HaKasuv says that's only him and not his heirs. The ability of the borrower to be mochel, really, he should be able to be mochel according to Rabbeinu Yerucham. However, the Torah says, no mechila, when you're dealing with this. Last part of this is to understand Rashi's view.
Does the Torah really say specifically there's no mechila?
By saying that you have punishment for ribbis. He was mochel.
Don't you have the same thing with like the whole, all the cases with mechila that we did with Onah also?
No, because there it wasn't so much mechila as I know what the price is, and Onah by definition is deceptive. It was built into Onah that there's deception, and therefore, if you know, that there's no issue. We said that you have to have specific knowledge. I'm actually going to go ahead with this first, because we have 7 minutes to go. Rabbi Yerucham was very kind to finish in his half hour, and I want to make sure that I finish in my half hour, because next week we have a special shiur. So, understanding Rashi's view, there's an article I found on YU, Tarnov, if it was Beis Yitzchak, or Beis Yosef Shaul, or something from a fellow in the Kol Elyon at YU. I think it was Shmuel David Shmulevitz. Which is a great name. So that was helpful in collecting some of the different pieces of this. I don't agree with everything, but overall it was very helpful. So the problem that we have with Rashi is that Rashi says a lot of things in a lot of places. And in some places he sounds like the Rashba and the Ran, and in some places he sounds like Rabbeinu Yerucham. That's a problem. So on the one hand, he sounds like Rashba and the Ran, that in the Gemara in Kiddushin, when he says, or he seems to think, that the money belongs to the Malva, the money belongs to the lender, and there's a separate obligation of payback. The case is talking about the man who is Mekadesh a woman with the with Ribbis money. So if you take a look at Source Yud Beis, that's your Gemara. Amar Abaye, a Mekadesh b'milva ain't a Mekudeshes. Abaye says, trying to do Kiddushin with a loan does not work. That's a separate discussion. With Hanas Milva does work, but you're not allowed to do that because of Haramas Ribis. So the Gemara asks, what does Hanas Milva mean? What's your case? And the case it offers is, the guy lent her money for $4. He lent her $4, and he said, you have to pay back $5. But then he says, you know what? Instead of the fifth dollar, marry me. The Kiddushin will be. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? That's Ribis Ma'alivsa. That's bona fide Ribis. That's not Hanas Milva Haramas Ribis. So Rashi on that says, the Gemara's challenge is a technical challenge to the terminology. It's Ribis Ma'alivsa versus Haramas Ribis. What he's accepting, though, is that the... what he's accepting is that fundamentally this ribbis what he's offering is that such a kiddushin should work fundamentally, indicating that the malva owns the money. The objection is there's an isser involved, the terminology is wrong, but fundamentally the principle is correct. He's saying that the Gemara accepts the idea that the kiddushin does work, indicating that malva owns the money. Yeah.
Isn't the chilas chov question in and of itself?
I'm going to skip that after this. after Asmi. So the Rashba and the Ran position is supported here by Rashi, who says that Kiddushin with this money works. On the other hand, I have two other Rashis. One of them is on our Gemara, Samach Aleph Amud Beis, Source Yudalid, Adkan Ribis Kitsutsa, Vikofin Oso Beisdin Lahachzirim Tov O Bechayav. We say that Beisdin compels you to repay if the borrower makes a claim. Why does the borrower have to make a claim? What do you mean the borrower makes a claim? So it sounds like the money belongs to the borrower, not that the money belongs to the lender. That's a very strange business. Second Rashi that supports this is Rashi Bavakamat Sadidalad Amid Beis on the heirs who don't have to refund. And Rashi there says, Dichsive Shivas Akzela Asher Gazal Vani Lo Gazal Midi. The orphans, the Yarshim, do not need to pay back because they didn't steal. The Pasuk says, Hey Shivas Akzela Asher Gazal. Time out. That's your Pasuk? Your Pasuk for refunding Ribis is Vahe Shivas Akzela? That means that you believe that the money actually belongs to the Lova and it's stolen goods. So which is it? Rashi in Kiddushin says that you can be the Kaddish with it, the money belongs to the Malveh. But Rashi says the Lova makes a claim on the money. And Rashi says that means the money belongs to the Lova. Which is it? So, you'll be surprised to know, we have two approaches. The approach number one is that Rashi sides with Rabbeinu Yeruchim. That's approach number one. It fits Rashi and Bava Kama. It fits Rashi and Bava Mitzia. Then the question is, if the money belongs to the Lova, why do you need to make a claim at all? Why does the borrower need to make any claim? The money belongs to him. So three different approaches very quickly, which you'll see the sources on the sheet, but I don't have time to read them out loud. The Ktsos says the answer is there is no debt until then. The money belongs to the Malva. The money belongs to the lender, and then when you make the claim, it belongs to you. He doesn't explain what that means, but that's true. The money belongs to the Malva until the claim. Second approach is the Nesivos. The Nesivos says because the borrower forgave it initially, he made the agreement to do this. He paid the ribis. Until he demonstrates otherwise with the claim, we assume he was mochel, and according to this, we will respect mechila. By making a claim, he says, I wasn't mochel. Oh, then the money's mine. Retroactively, apparently. That's the second approach. Third approach is the Chasam Sofer. I love this Chasam Sofer. You know, there's a great sugya in the beginning of Temura about Iyavid Mahani, Iyavid Lo Mahani. Right? If I do something that I'm not allowed to do, is it effective? If I shecht on Shabbos, is it a valid shechita? And the Gemara goes through this machlokas abayi v'rava and tries to find cases in which they will disagree with each other because they debate yavid mahani, yavid lo mahani. Rava's principle is lo mahani, it doesn't work. Abayi's principle is that it does work. So the Chasam Sofer says Rashi here is within Rava's view that you pay based on v'cheyachicha imach, because Rava says i'avid lo mahani. If you're not supposed to do something, then doing it doesn't work, and therefore when the borrower paid the ribis, it actually wasn't effective. It's invalid. Even if it's a willing payment, it doesn't work, and therefore the money still belongs to the lova. However, there was no theft, because I handed him the money. So therefore, I have to make the claim and create Ve'eshev Es Hakzela. You have to make a claim in order to generate it. Otherwise, he's holding money that you handed to him. He has no better way to give it back. Once you say to him, give me back my money, then he's holding your money, and now he has to pay it back. If it's
the lawyer loaned the ribis back to the Malva, it's not Gzela. He didn't take it from him.
Say this again?
If it's Iyav the Loi Mahani, then the ribis and the taking of the ribis, alright, it's not, it doesn't work. It's Loi Mahani.
Yeah.
And it's not Gzela.
I'll tell you what. I'm not gonna rush through this because this has to be done properly. We're gonna pick up with the understanding of Rashi's view with the next year. And what we're having next week, God willing.